in day one, you sit down and at some point you have to start somewhere, right? And open up the book and sit back and figure out where am I going to start first. And for you, what did you circle to be a starting point for you as Chancellor of Southern University of Baton Rouge?
Growing enrollment. Mm-hmm. That's the critical thing. We have to grow enrollment. We have to retain more students from first to second year. We have to put them in a position where we increase retention first to second year. If we do that, then we get them to graduate at a much higher rate than we have. Mm-hmm. We put them in a position to win. Mm-hmm. And that's a critical thing. The second big thing, of course, is we always need more housing. So we're focusing on developing more housing so that we can give students a better residential experience. The more students we can have in a residential setting on campus, the better chance that they're going to succeed because they're not going to be caught in the trappings of being away from campus.
I can tell you about them trappings, okay?
We want students to stay focused,
yeah,
and to have a seriousness of purpose,
mm-hmm,
because that's the real key. And all summer, I've been talking to these students that are coming in about the summer of 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I talk about that is a woman named Fannie Lou Hamer started a revolution, which was, we're going to make sure that people have a right to vote. We're going to change Mississippi. And she started with young students from Tougaloo College.
Mm-hmm.
And they recruited students from other places and other folks. But this was done and led by students. And the leaders were young people in this process. One of them was Dave Dennis, who went to Southern Lab,
mm-hmm,
from Shreveport, Louisiana. He was the bright young age of 22. He turned 23 and became an old man in the movement. he was clearly one of those people that were being transformational change agents. So when I look at these students that are 18, 19, 17, they are the same types of students that were really inspired to make a change in 1964. And because of that, we have the 1964 Civil Rights Act, mm-hmm, all right? So every time you go to a restaurant, you go to a hotel, all right, and you can stay at the Marriott or the Hilton and whatever place you want to do, and you can go to Ruth Chris, that's because of the impact of Fannie Lou Hamer. And the same thing, within a year, came the Voting Rights Act.
Let me ask you this. How does Southern University, because it's African Americans, right, we look at the opportunities that you're talking about. In those times, it was Southern and Grambling, right? And it was Hardin, which is the very reason why the Southern University Law Center is there today, the very reason which is why Southern University system exists to give and provide opportunities for African-American people, and it has helped build the black middle class of Louisiana. But how does Southern University now, in particular the SUBR campus, compete in the ever-growing, evolving world of higher education? Students today are now looking at more than ever the Southeasterns, the Nichols, the McNeese, the ULs, the Louisiana Tech. And I'm just speaking in terms of Louisiana, in which black students ultimately went to Southern and Grambling, right? If you were in Louisiana, but now especially LSU. You look at LSU's black enrollment in terms of the school, it is through the roof. It's probably just as much as Southern. I know at one time it was more than Grambling as a whole. So how do we compete with that now as African-American students, in which our institution is there to give opportunity, but now opportunity seems to present itself all around?
But the way we compete is we go out and we talk to the students and tell them why it's important for them to come to Southern University. So first of all, Southern University is an 1890 land-grant institution.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have lots of advantages. We just announced a couple of days ago that any student that majors in the agricultural area gets a $1,000 scholarship, period. There are folks that are getting the 1890 Scholars Program where they're getting everything paid for. Because why? Because those areas are growing. And when people think about agriculture, they think about growing crops. No, how about fashion merchandising? How about food and nutrition? How about environmental science?
Mm-hmm.
How about the food insecurity issues? Food insecurity is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at that, we're growing that particular college. We're providing students with the opportunity. The same thing with our new construction management program. The same thing with our music technology program, our music business program, our entrepreneurship program, our risk management insurance program. All those areas are areas, computer engineering, all those areas are underrepresented. So here's the reality. Thank God that more student, black students are going to colleges everywhere, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's the first good thing.
Yeah.
But still, HBCU enrollment is still rising. Mm-hmm. It's still rising. So what that means is that we are democratizing higher education. That's the real critical thing. Everybody ought to be able to access higher education. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even mention the community colleges like BRCC.
Which is a feeder school.
But we have a community college within Southern University called Southern University Shreveport. Mm-hmm. And they're offering some wonderful programs in aviation, allied health, and nursing. We have nursing and allied health in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and in Shreveport. We got cybersecurity in Shreveport, and we're going to bring some of that to Baton Rouge. My point is the opportunities are growing. As the pie is growing, we're going to grow because we're going to serve as students. And not only that, we serve students that are not African-American. Mm-hmm. We have more and more students in those high-demand areas. As we fight for more high-demand majors, we're going to get students from lots of different backgrounds. Because here's the key. Everybody recognizes that opportunity has no color. Mm-hmm. Access has no color. Mm-hmm. And once we recognize that, then we always recognize that we're part of the great ecosystem, all right, mm-hmm. in this constellation called higher education.
You look at higher education, and what studies does a university do? Because I always talk about the 5 and 10-year plan, and often you can start with a 3-year plan. What research does a institution of higher education do to look towards the future to realize what majors and those jobs are kind of teetering to the backside, and what majors are looking like they're on the forefront in 10 years? This is going to be a high priority area for students to want to go major. And what, how does that research work, and how does Southern University evaluate that to say in 10 years, we need to possibly be looking at putting our time and effort into these areas because this is the direction that the world seems to be going, that these are going to be high volume, high priority major areas that we can get students in?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of economic studies that we can rely on. Louisiana Economic Development does a lot of studies of what they call five-star jobs and so forth and so on. But let me tell you what the critical piece is. There are going to be jobs and careers out there and professions out there that we don't even know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've got to do is we've got to work on skill development. In other words, there's certain skills that make you successful no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on skill development and have the idea that one of the things we've got to close is this digital divide. See, because everything is being digitized. And minority communities are 7 to 10 years behind a lot of folks when it comes to digital stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, for example, we use these phones and we play on these phones, but we're not developing the apps. We're not developing the games. We're not developing those kinds of things that make this stuff work. So we've got to recognize the more we talk about having folks develop skills,
mm-hmm.
then whatever the change is that's happening in the economy, they've got the skills to transition.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you might get into 3 or 4 opportunities over your lifetime that transitions from what you do. You know, the idea that you can go one place and work 40, 50 years or 30, 40 years, that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be flexible.
Yeah.
You got to be able to move. that's the reality. And here's the critical thing.
Mm-hmm.
COVID taught us a lot.
Yeah. It taught you what you thought you couldn't do.
That's right. Exactly. So the whole point is we're trying to create people that understand that they are the most valuable asset themselves,
mm-hmm.
towards creating opportunities. We're not, you know, it's great to have the great corporations create jobs, and there's some great things. For example, Amazon has come to Baton Rouge. That's going to open up a whole lot of doors,
mm-hmm.
for our folks, and we've signed on for the opportunity for their employees to come to Southern because they realize that those employees need skills to hit the bottom line, all right? That's the whole thing. We focus on skills. We're always looking for ways to access higher education. We got to make access to higher education better. So, for example, Do we need 120, 30 hours of academic credit to get a degree, or should we worry about some type of skill certifications that really help people? We're very fortunate, for example, that all of our students can get into the IBM certification program where they can get certified in things like AI. They can get certified in cybersecurity. They can get certified in Internet of Things. All those things matter. Coding. We've got an esports gaming lab now.
I remember when gaming was looked frowned upon. Now we can go to school and we can play the game.
Because what you learn is you learn so much about analytical skills.
Yep, yep.
And, for example, in the Navy, they're going to have fewer people on those ships to run those ships, because same thing with the Army. All military, everything we look at, there's going to be an impact, okay? So what we've got to do is constantly figure out how do we create skill level development. What are the critical areas that we've got to do? And so we're looking at things that really help those students, but we also look at improving our community.
Yeah.
See, because if we don't improve the community around us and provide opportunities, then we're a failure.
Let's get ready to take a break. And we come back, I want to talk about community, because I think that's most important when you build up the community, because you provide for the community opportunities. So let's get ready to take a break. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journey.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White. And what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
D.R. Ricks is a fifth-year senior who's getting his first chance to drive the train that Bob talked about. And right now, he's driving it quite well, because the Southern Jaguars are kicking butt in the SWAC conference. As Bob mentioned, 6-0 overall in the SWAC, and D.R. Ricks has played so well. Over 2,000 yards passing in the last three games running the football. He's been over 100 yards on the ground. The respect factor that he gets from his teammates is incredible. As a fifth-year senior has never started, they elected him captain. And the numbers he has put up are represented on your screen. 27 total touchdowns on the offense, a pass percentage of nearly 60%. He could be the SWAC Player of the Year on the offensive side.
Best, and they're going to get a huge dose of the best offensive player in the SWAC, and that being Thomas Ricks.
Yeah, what Thomas Ricks has found a way to do is just beat defenses either with his arm, with his feet, or with his leadership capabilities, finding a way to win the games late with fourth quarter comebacks. He showed versatility and athleticism. He's a tremendous athlete that knows how to win, most importantly.
He is a leader both on and off the field.
I just think it has come to a maturity level. You know, I have a four-year-old son, and, you know, when he was born, I had to grow up fast. And, you know, just staying in school and practicing every day, trying to get better every day, you know, just so he can have a better future. It's just been my inspiration. So, you know, I just think that's my motor that drives me and, you know, keeps me in the game.
His four-year-old son, Collier, has not missed a game this season. He throw the football around in Rick's dorm room at Southern. And he says it's great playing football with Collier. First and 10. Rick's got Vernon. Vernon makes the catch at the 45.
He can run the entire offense and go those guys in the game.
Rick's to Vernon. First down. Holmes in the backfield. Rick's. First down. Game down the tackle, but not until Rick's picks up the first down. Second and 7. Rick's. Overstreet's got it. Across midfield. In a shotgun, he's going to run it out to the 10, second and 11 after the holding penalty. Sidearm toss and a nice catch. Ricks on the first and 10 with a draw play, takes it outside. He's got the first down.
But Ricks going to take it up
the. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are enjoying today's show. I'm Perry White. Thank you guys for joining us. Everybody listening to the Capital City area around the state of Louisiana, as well as everybody watching on our YouTube channel and our Facebook. Be sure to go hit that subscribe button, as well as hit that follow button. We would love to have your support because we're not doing anything but just talking some positive stuff. And today we're talking positive about Southern University.